Okay, so the next two images I'll treat much more briefly. So the image of the iceberg with just the tip visible and the great mass of the iceberg underneath the water unseen. So we can think of the tip of the iceberg as the self-view that our rational mind has grasped. But there's so much more to us than the tip of the iceberg. So another part of the process of integration we could see is our awareness increasingly extending past just the tip of the iceberg to all that we can't see. I think the iceberg image came to mind because it evoked our fear of the unknown, our fear of what lies below the surface. And the image kind of arose when I was asking myself again, well, why aren't we integrated already? You know, why aren't we just enlightened? And we have the capacity, so why isn't it the case? And two things came to mind, just using myself as a guinea pig. Why am I holding on, clinging to the tip of the iceberg, you know? And one thing is that we're actively perpetuating a superficial experience of ourselves. We're deeply invested in that, and we're very good at it. We could have a whole variety show of the different ways in which each of us creatively keeps ourselves at that superficial experience. One need only experience the phantasmagoria of hindrances to recognize how we're clinging to that tip of the iceberg. Just ways to keep us in familiar territory, keep us in the territory of self as we know it. I mean, in a way, hindrances, we could just call them coping strategies. You know, they're a little misguided, but they're just coping strategies. We're just trying to be okay, you know. Life looks a little overwhelming, so we'll just throw in a little, sexual fantasy to keep us busy, and then maybe we'll just go to sleep so that we can just go to sleep. That's a good strategy. So one observation is just that there's a lot of investment in staying in that superficial territory. And actually, you know, we could be quite integrated in a kind of superficial way and just say, well, that's it. You know, I'm reasonably happy in Buddhist life, and I just stay there. I think it's another manifestation. The other observation is that we do become quickly afraid of what we don't see, what we don't know. In Buddha Mind, Sangharakshita writes, usually people like to think that the rational mind is omnipotent, that it can do everything, know everything. They don't like to be asked to contemplate the weakness of the rational mind or to be reminded of the power of the non-rational. For this reason, they react sometimes rather strongly to things that remind them of the non-rational or that make them feel the presence, even the pulling or the pushing of the non-rational. Similarly, we tend to be afraid of our violent emotions, which might carry us away out of ourselves, force us to lose control. We tend to like nice, gentle, soft, tame, manageable emotions. And then he goes on further. He talks about breaking through into Buddhahood requiring breaking through the rational mind into a state of what we may describe as transcendental non-rationality. So just looking at fearing that which we don't know or understand, I was wondering whether this is a legacy of conditioning from a European colonialist worldview, or that maybe the European colonial worldview might show us where fear can take us. So history just very well documents how much early European explorers just feared the people they came upon that were so different from them, and mistrusted them. And these indigenous peoples were like the other to the rationalistic European self, and were viewed as savages who were wild and unpredictable threats that either needed to be domesticated or destroyed. And I wonder if our coping strategies for a mind aren't much different. You know, control it or eradicate it. Those parts that we don't understand or aren't willing to see as part of ourselves, as connected, interconnected with who we are. It's just a sort of whimsical thought I had. But, you know, maybe there's something to it.